Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen.
And Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
You're installing an offense versus he was in an offense that had been here for 4 years when he stepped into it. You're also, it's the beginning of the season. He stepped into it in November where the defense is mostly the offense is mostly formed by that point.
Yeah, I mean, one of them is Stefanski with a plan, and the other one was Stefanski just throwing bleep against the wall because he had to.
Yeah.
And what's funny about it is that when he was just forced to throw bleep against the wall, it actually looked better than what it is right now.
And so I also understand, by the way, that there was this edict from the Browns, we have to cut down turnovers. Which makes it even funnier that they signed Joe Flacco, who's just...
Yeah, it's one of the things... We worried about that from the day one. It was like, wait, so you signed him when your whole goal this offseason was you're going to win games by not turning the ball over. Okay.
So we kind of had that conversation, and then this came up on, I think it was about last night. This was actually not yesterday, not today's show, but yesterday's show. And I think this caught... The idea of letting Joe Flacco cook caught Ken Carmen off guard.
What's the governor on Joe?
Well, I think the thought has been that they've been so conservative the first two games that they're not letting Joe cook. Let's think about this, though. If we want Joe Flacco to cook the way that he does, what do we need? We need time. You need receivers running good discipline routes and getting open. And then you have to worry, where are the safeties? There are so many things that need to happen for the Browns to convert one of those Joe Flacco quintessential deep balls. Right now, they don't have that timing. They don't have that luxury.
I hope Dylan's getting reps tomorrow because we're already in desperate mode. So, yeah, I mean, if you want to let the 40-year-old man cook, I think you're going to run into a bad problem. I think it's not going to taste very good.
I think Ken's framing of this was a little disingenuous. And I don't mean that in like a shot at him. I'll go back to the idea what Joe is being asked to do now is very different than what he was asked to do at the end of 2023.
Yeah.
And you can, there were two stats that I mentioned with Ashley Bastock. One was completed air yards per attempt. In 2023, that was 7.6 yards per attempt. Now it's 4.2. The other one is intended air yards per attempt. In 2023, it was 9.3 yards, mm-hmm. which is huge.
Yeah.
Now it's 6.4 yards. So one stat is almost halved, and the other is quartered. I'm sorry, not one-thirded.
There's not a stat that is close like that that we can find anything to support basically anything but what you're saying right now. I mean, this is the average depth of throw, ADOT, the ones that my sabermetric friends love. Like it all tells you Joe Flacco's not throwing the ball far.
And here's the thing. I do think these numbers are fudged a skosh because Joe had to be a check down Charlie in week one. Not as much this week. But you're still seeing a lot of screens. You're seeing a lot of short passes, passes to the flat, swing passes. Like, you are seeing a lot of passes. And honestly, not just throws before the sticks, throws before the line of scrimmage.
Well, and it's not like they're letting him not throw it either. I mean, he's got 45 passes in each game. That is the most amount of pass attempts for any quarterback in the NFL this year.
And I'm willing to go. Because Lime, I thought, had some fair things, which is, well, some of this requires timing. Some of this requires guys being open.
Yeah, I disagreed with a little bit of that, by the way. Just, mm-hmm. Like, I mean, it's, yes, obviously the part of them getting open, I agree with that 100%. And that's a fair point by Lima. More the idea that it requires timing. I mean, Russell Wilson in week two threw for a million yards. Like, mm-hmm. you should be able to, with professional wide receivers, have that instant connection. The same way that Joe did, by the way, 2 years ago.
But listen, I know that this is not the friend's business. It's football. And I get how this goes. But the time is coming very, very quickly that you will be benching Joe Flacco. unless a win comes, unless a 300-yard performance with no interceptions come, the clock is ticking. This was the moment. You and I have said, don't put six games on it. Don't put eight games on it. This is all going to be about, are you winning and are you not turning the ball over? Well, now, not only are you not winning and turning the ball over, you got blown out in this last one.
Yeah, but the part of it that...
So the clock is ticking with Joe.
It is, but that's the part that feels unfair to him. And this is where, when we started the convo a couple days ago, the idea of, like, taking the governor off and letting Joe be Joe. I think I used the term, you can't cage all these birds or certain birds, right? Like, you got to let them fly. And, like, with Joe, I just don't think he can be caged. I just don't think that's how you get the best version of Joe Flacco.
Yeah, I think cautious Joe Flacco might have the same downside as freewheeling... no risky, no bisky, Joe Flacco.
I mean, it clearly is, right? As evidenced by the interceptions we've seen already this season.
Yeah. Well, and I think, honestly, this even harkens back to several of the conversations we've had with Baker. And I'm sure this is something we can get to with Aditi, where Baker has mentioned countless times about how freeing it is just to be allowed to be Baker in Tampa Bay.
They told him, be you.
And
meanwhile,
how,
it didn't happen here.
And how that was not how Baker felt here with the Stefanski experience.
I thought that was more personality stuff than it was playmaking abilities, but maybe it does bleed into both.
Baker is a gunslinger. There is an element. There is a Farvian element to what Baker likes
Brett
to do.
Favre was his idol growing up. That's who he idolized.
And so to me, it's never been about, well, don't throw interceptions. But they're going to happen. There are certain style of quarterbacks, whether it's arm hubris, which was a Jameis thing, whether it's just not seeing the field right, or whether it's being too comfortable taking risks. Yes, they are going to happen with certain quarterbacks more than others. But to me, it's about, all right, for every interception, can you give me 2 to 3 touchdowns? And right now, you're still getting the turnovers without the explosive plays. That's not entirely, I really do want to say this, it's not entirely Kevin Stefanski's fault. That's not what I'm saying. But Kevin, the good intentions of we got to rein him in might actually be counterintuitive to having any little bit of success offensively just with him being able to uncork one pass, two passes, three passes, a quarter, and live with those results.
I don't think it's an accident that when Stefanski just had to deal with what he could deal with when Joe Flacco came here in 2023, he had a lot of success. But then when Stefanski...
His only top 10 offense, by the way.
And then, but then when Stefanski gets to actually put his hands on it and try to control it the way that he does, it's not going the way that he thought it would. I just don't find that to be an accident. I really don't.
And listen, this is not the fair business, not the friends business, it's football business. I get this. I do think it's fait accompli now that much sooner than we realized, Dylan Gabriel's coming. It's gonna happen. It feels fait accompli, and it might be this weekend, by the way, guys.
Green Bay's defense is awesome.
I cannot tell you definitively if Joe goes out there and has two picks in the first half or two turnovers and they've got 3 points of the half. I can no longer say definitively he's in no danger of being benched. Not, well, it's garbage time, let the kid play. I'm talking benched, meaning we'll see if Dylan Gabriel fails or if he gets injured, right, before we're ready to go to any of the other quarterbacks. That being said, you do owe it to Joe Flacco. Joe Flacco is a stand-up dude. This is Joe's probably last, it's his last chance to be a starter in the NFL. And if you are going to put him out there and let him be a pinata for other defenses, you have to give him a chance to be who he is. And by the way, you don't just owe it to Joe. You owe it to that locker room. When you have big explosive plays, the kind that Joe can create with his arm, even if it's negative plays too, that does add a swagger to those dudes in that locker room. And right now, I'm already seeing an offense that knows it can't do a damn thing. That is pervasive. That is corrosive. That is poison ivy of the soul. You have to go ahead and give Joe that opportunity. And if it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out. I mean, it's not working out now. That was the thing about the Ken thing. It was like, Ken, they're 0-2. They've got no offense.
It feels like you almost might as well try is the sad part of it. But
no,
yes.
100%. But I do think like you owe it to Joe because he's a stand-up guy and he helped you out 2 years ago in a pinch, and then you cast him aside for some quarterback who is never going to be a damn thing. I know that's revisionist, but we should have known it.
You owe it to yourself too. I mean, like your plan didn't work in the first 2 weeks. It just didn't.
And you owe it to that locker room. Like that defense knows it can win. And listen, the offense – if we're talking about big picture, if we're talking about being a championship, yeah, they need a franchise quarterback. No bleep. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I don't know anybody who's come away watching the Browns offense the last 4 years, 3 years, now 4 years, and thought, they could really benefit from a franchise quarterback. All right, that's the obvious point at this point. And yes, they don't. I don't know that they definitively have a number one receiver. I think David Njoku might be better served as a number two receiver now than a number one, and he certainly shouldn't be one of your higher paid players. The offensive line has got some real issues to it. All these things are true. None of that gets fixed without some points on the board. None of that belief in yourself as an offense, and none of that that defense won't keep. That belief in that defense that they can go out there any given day and shut it down won't keep for 17 games if the offense isn't giving them a chance to win.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen
and Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
We've known. You got like one or two more weeks before you just have to just say bleep it anyways. Let Joe cook. You owe it to Joe. You owe it to the locker room. And quite frankly, Kevin Stefanski owes it to himself.
Well, and
because your ass could be grass very shortly here if you keep this up.
Don't confuse us either. If they decide to let Joe cook and that falls flat as well, that is the cost of doing business with Joe Flacco. It might end up being a really bad decision, all things considered. But I'll tell you right now, going with the other way, where you do seem to hold Joe back and you don't let him throw it deep, but you let him throw it 45 times, you're not winning games that way.
Yeah.
So like I can tell you right now, you're going to lose this game to the Packers that way. The only semblance of a chance you have is letting Joe go for potentially 300 yards, get multiple touchdowns, extend out the field, and do what Joe Flacco has built a career on.
Yeah, and acting like any of this, this was always a very bothersome, potentially dangerously, potentially stupid quarterback plan. I don't know that they could have gotten anybody better. They could have traded for Kirk Cousins, right? They could have made an astronomical offer to the Titans to see if they get the number one pick, right? There were other things they could have done, even if I don't know they would have been that much better than Joe. That being said, you got to give it a go. If you bench him three games in and then go, yeah, he was turning the ball over. Okay, he was also not really been given a chance to offset the big turnovers by other big plays.
Well, and his turnovers happened, like that big interception that Ross has mentioned, it happened when it felt like he was trying to take over the game and he finally got a chance. He scrambled outside the pocket and he finally got a chance to try to create a play. It's like you could tell he was dying at that opportunity. He was almost like a little kid just getting so excited in the moment he didn't know what to do with himself.
And none of these are, oh my God, options. None of the like the difference between don't let Joe cook and let Joe cook. Guys, neither are great options.
Right.
Because it's Joe Flacco. In the same way, then I guarantee you we're going to hear from Aditi in 25 minutes. Guarantee you she's going to say, it's too bad you let go of Kenny Pickett. As if Kenny Pickett was going to be some golden ticket to change the fortunes of the Cleveland Browns.
Yeah, no, we wouldn't have the conversation of we should let Kenny Pickett cook. No. We would at least know that the confines that Kenny Pickett can operate in.
Yeah, we would say, should Kenny Pickett be cooked?
Yeah. The fun part about Flacco, though, is that Flacco, he's like an actor with range, right? And it's like you can play different parts, you can do different things. And so you have these other places that you can take Joe Flacco's game to. And it just seems like we're reading that Stefanski's not going to want to take it there. And that's the best thing I think Joe Flacco does.
And here would be another rebuttal that I have to you can't let Joe cook crowd. Or people who think that this is somehow like a media creation. You're giving Kevin Stefanski a lot of credit for a guy that's got three wins in the last year and a half. And I don't think Kevin's an idiot. And I have never said that. I think he's a little bit arrogant at points. I think he is probably better suited as an offensive coordinator than he is a head coach, at least in this scenario, where I think you do need a leader of men and a true adult in the room. But there's a lot of things I really like about Kevin Stefanski that just might not make him a great head coach. That being said, if you're not questioning the handling, when he's the offensive head coach, when the number one reason here is that this guy's supposed to be the guy that can turn any quarterback into something doable and sustainable and something enjoyable and watchable on offense, and it ain't happening. You don't just have to give him a pass because of Joe Flacco, because he also had a say in Joe Flacco being here. You can have expectations for this offense, even if your expectations are you should be scoring more than 16.5 points a game.
Well, and now we're on a stretch here where it's been 8 games where he has averaged 13 points a game. And like we're in a really bad stretch of offensive football. There's just no other real way to look at it.
216-474-0092. Do the Browns owe it to Joe Flacco to let him cook before benching him? Hope for the Browns? Do I hear a glimmer of hope for the Browns? That's in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan. How did you take JOK's TikTok post where it basically was talking about, you know, an old star that got shut down but then came back brighter than ever,
yeah,
and everyone just assumed that means he's going to come back and play football soon?
I got confused at first. I thought I was reading like one of those TikTok inspirational posts,
mm-hmm,
and I was like, oh, what Tony Robbins imposter do we have here now? Oh, no, that's JOK. I'm still convinced he's just never going to play again, but I would love to see him obviously get in a spot. Could you imagine if it was Schlesinger and JOK back on the field together?
Yeah, it's one of those things where if most athletes like to do the inspirational thing and most of them seem to be full of crap, JOK is not that guy.
So I've been told he is a very, very big reader.
Yeah.
He reads everything.
And a genuine, like, old soul good dude.
Yeah, for sure. But like all he does is he just reads a bunch of books, and he's very intellectual, and he's very that message didn't surprise me in the slightest bit based off of what I've known about his personal life.
He's the only piece missing to this defense and maybe a nickel corner. I'm not gonna get incredibly hopeful about this, but I hope it happens, because that would just be the coolest thing in the world.
It'd be great. I mean, think about it.
I just can't take it to the bank right now.
No, I just think we're getting way too ahead of ourselves. I've already casted that ship out to sail, and if it happens to be a spot where he can come back and play, then awesome. But for right now, I just don't get my hopes up for that.
We are asking you guys, do the Browns owe it to Joe Flacco to let him cook before benching him? I think they owe it to Joe Flacco. I think they owe it to that locker room. I think they might owe it to the fans. And I think Kevin probably owes it to himself. Let's go with Steve in Cleveland, which will now be known as Steveland. Welcome to the show, Steve.
How are you doing?
Doing very well. What you got for us?
My problem with the Browns right now, their offense is really boring. And it's really boring because it looks like it's a Tommy Reese ran offense. And I say that because he's always ran a Brian Kelly style offense. And it's a run on first down, run on second down, always on the inside, short passes. Just it's boring. And that's honestly my take on it.
So it is, and I think you're pointing at something I actually really agree with. If you're boring and good, no one cares.
Yeah, that's true.
But if you're boring and bad, it's really the worst thing you can do in the NFL. So much of what was fun about 2023 is Joe took over for PJ Walker and DTR.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, we were getting big chunk plays, big throws down the yard, right? And it wasn't just Amari Cooper. Elijah Moore had one of his best games in Cleveland then. David Njoku built basically a damn career based off the last 8 games of that year. And it just, yes, this is a town that is defense first. And we love blue-collar football. You know what else we love? Putting points on that board.
Yeah.
And the Browns are the wrong mix of entertaining and not good.
The influence of Tommy Reese on this, and I think it's an interesting question, because like going into the season, we wondered what, if anything, his imprint would be on there. I think it's the pre-snap motion. I mean, that's definitely something that Tommy Reese put an emphasis on, and so you've seen it now. They do 50% of their plays so far this season has been using pre-snap motion, which is the highest we've ever seen Stefanski use it.
Yeah, what's interesting about that is, because Kevin, that's been kind of a knock on Kevin, is that Even when we tried to use pre-snap motion, it led to a lot of penalties. The Browns have been mostly devoid of those kind of penalties. But remember, that 50% number, week one, it was like 70%. So the biggest change from like week one to week two was they still used it more than they have previously.
Yeah.
But there was a significant drop-off in pre-snap motion, which I think might have only complicated your issues.
And I would imagine this week is going to be very similar to what you saw week two as opposed to week one, just based off of the teams that you're playing. Like, because the Packers defense is so good the same way the Ravens defense is so good.
216-474-0092. Let's go with... I was going to go there.
What happened there?
Let's go with Mark in Cleveland.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Hey, Mark.
Hey, you just stole my thunder in a way. Like, talking about how different it was the first time we had Flacco, and we wanted him back so bad the next year, and now we got him back, and it looks like Deshaun Watson's quarterback again. It looks like the same thing from last year. Nothing. I mean, these guys, like you said, boring and clueless. Like, they can't score points. They just look terrible. Why isn't Flacco doing something? I mean, I gave Flacco a break for last week. He had a lot going on, man. He went to Baltimore to celebrate MVP Super Bowl winner, and he's got to turn around and play quarterback for the Browns. I give him a flyer. He looked tired. He looked like he was out of it. Didn't look like himself. So I'm hoping this week it'll be different. That's all I can hope for.
Mark, we appreciate you. Thank you so much, buddy.
Sounds like Mark's giving the old Peterlin pass there.
It does sound like there's a Peterlin pass.
The Peterlin pass.
Do you get a pass just for the idea that you went back and celebrated a 30th anniversary of the Ravens?
Yeah, if you're 40.
If you're 40.
Yeah. It was an age-related thing. Here's what I'll say. The whole reason you went back to the old offense and the old blocking scheme was this is where you'd had success. And so maybe we shouldn't have seen... Maybe we should have expected a tougher jump out of the gates here than maybe we did going into it. I don't know. I think so much the benefit is... Almost all the guys who were here in the old blocking scheme are still here.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Almost all the guys that ran the offense 2 years ago, sans Jerry Jeudy or the rookies, they're still here. I think it's really, I don't put it on Tommy Rees. Kevin's the play caller. And so it's some mix of Kevin is the play caller. And
I mean, that's the first stray I think I've heard towards Tommy Rees in this entire endeavor anyway.
We never blamed Alex Van Pelt is all I'm going to say.
We did blame Ken Dorsey though.
Well, yeah, because he was...
We did. We got there. But he actually got to call the plays. So it was a little bit different.
And it was his offense.
Yeah.
But I think that's the thing that's most alarming, is this was supposed to be a seamless transition back to the old offense. And there's been... Not only has it not been seamless, it's been boring, bland, not interesting, not explosive. And it's tough to find, like, how are they going to get better? I do think the offensive line is getting better, even if it's just the interior. It's still not good enough. I don't think it's all the wide receiver or all the pass catchers. I think the running game is getting a little bit better, but it's like...
And it's kind of with Judkins, too, by the way, just in general.
But making incremental progress when you need leaps, bounds, and light year jumps.
Yeah, and I think the only way you get that is by letting Joe Flacco go back to being the Joe Flacco that we've known for 18 years. I think doing that is a big step forward, but we'll see. You know, back's against the wall. Let's see what they do.
Do the Browns owe it to Joe Flacco to let him cook before benching him? Aditi Kinkabwala in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen and Anthony Lima. Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast? You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods. Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show. Your way and on your time.